When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
The best Christmas song.
All right, I can listen to that.
By a mile.
Better than Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
The best.
Better than All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey?
It's not even close. It's this and the rest.
The snow's coming down.
Bumble. Wow.
I'm watching it go.
Fragile.
It must be Italian.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
Baby, please come home.
Shiny. I'd even say it's blue.
Looks great. A little full. A lot of sap.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
But it's not like Christmas at all.
Excellent work from Josh Schmidt. Feeling the holiday spirit.
This song is so good.
Christmas. All right. Hey, Jeremy and Joe, good morning, everybody. Hi, how are you? Football Friday. Bills wearing candy cane uniforms on Sunday, feeling festive. And the Broncos gave the Bengals a gift last night. How about that? You like that? You like that tie-in? It was in their stockings. The Bengals woke up. Well, Bengals have a little bit better playoff look right now than they did. Still a bit of a long shot. And Sigmund Bloom has broken it down nicely. I'll get you that. So it's Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. So here's the simplest way to look at the result last night and what it means. Sigmund Bloom, on the key to Denver and Cincinnati. Denver is still the favorite to make the final spot.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Miami are all alive. The key is, for Cincinnati, they need the Chiefs to lose a game.
Uh-huh.
Because if the Chiefs beat Houston and the Chiefs beat Pittsburgh, then the Chiefs game against Denver in Week 18 will not matter to Kansas City. They can just relax, and it's on the road. It's in Denver. And they'll sit some players, and Denver can take that game and make the playoffs. By the way, it's how Pittsburgh made the playoffs last year, right? They won a game in Baltimore that the Ravens did not need.
Right.
So that's one thing about the Bengals. They are now rooting for the Chiefs to take care of business on tomorrow against Houston and then on Christmas Day against Pittsburgh. So there's a little bit of the Bengals math for you.
That is – it still, though, is predicated on they need more than all of this to happen. Like, I'm playing around with the ESPN playoff machine right now, and – if they beat the Broncos and they get the Chiefs to be motivated and the Chiefs to beat the Broncos in Week 18, they're going to need either the Dolphins or the Colts to drop one. And like New York Times has that only at 59% to happen because the Colts just don't play anybody. So like that's what makes it so tough is they need this scenario with the Broncos to play out their way, and then they also need two teams. They need them to not, both of them to not win out, and even the Dolphins don't have a tough end here. So it's tough. Like I New York Times playoff machine, if they win out, you don't put anything else in, just if the Bengals win out, they're 23% to make it. If the Dolphins win out, they're 37% to make it. If the Colts win out, they're 38% to make it. So, like, to me, I am most worried about them, no doubt, in a potential playoff matchup against the Bills of the three opponents. But they're third. Like, yeah. Indy and Miami are more likely to make it right now. And I'm much more, like, I'm just not thinking it's all that likely that Cincinnati's going to find their way in and get the help they need.
Well, Cincinnati does have to do something they've not yet done, which is beat good teams.
Right. Right. And right. Again, like, Denver will be properly motivated, unless Cincinnati drops it this week and then all that is moot. But, you know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, right? Like, shouldn't we think,
yeah,
like, you know, you should get by
the
that
Bengals
one.
Have to beat the Broncos and the Steelers, who are two teams over 500 that are good. And Cincinnati's wins this year, they just don't really have
yeah.
any impressive wins.
I could see it playing out where they get real close. Like they do win these games because, okay, you could beat Denver, and then Pittsburgh is maybe not motivated at the end. But you get some help. You get the Broncos to not win another game. Maybe Kansas City's still fighting for the one seed. Like, I could see that all playing out. And then, oh, you didn't get in because the Colts just had to beat the Titans, Giants, and Jaguars.
Yeah.
Like, great. Like, congrats. Like, the Colts are, to me, like, that's kind of the team I'm thinking about squeaking in. Because they just don't play. Hey, they play three of the worst teams in football. You might say those are the three teams you'd most want to play.
Yeah.
Is there another one? Like, the Giants are a joke with Drew Locke or DeVito. Who's gonna? Maybe Tommy Boyle plays that game at quarterback. The Jaguars are at Mac Jones, and Tennessee. I guess Rudolph maybe makes them actually a little more competitive. But man, the Colts might play the three easiest teams in the league to play to yep. finish out.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can give us a call if you want. Of course, last night we also had the wild. Fair catch free kick, which doesn't happen often just based on field position. You don't often get a fair catch
yeah.
that's called in field goal range, and you didn't get that last night. What you got was a 15-yard personal foul for kick catch interference, which gave Cameron Dicker a 57-yard free kick that he hit, and it's the first one hit in the NFL since 1976, which was also the Chargers, and it was against the Bills. They pointed out last night on the broadcast.
And it was a guy with an incredible 70s mustache.
Which back then was just known as a mustache.
A mustache.
Yeah. Jeremy and Joe here on Football Friday. Patriots. Want to remember some Patriots? Want to remember some Patriots games?
I feel like this is the worst. This is the lame. This is the least fun team to do this with.
It might be the least fun
because
remembering some guys.
Oh, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, guys that broke my heart.
It's because, all of them are annoying.
All of them.
We lived a full two decades almost of this team being the lords over your football team.
Yeah.
And we hated every single person in the organization, all of them.
Right. That would be the challenge maybe is name a Patriot that doesn't, like the mere mention of his name just doesn't make you go, oh, that guy.
Right.
Like Kevin Falk.
Ugh.
That's the one that does annoy me. Like, that dude, man. Like,
yep.
Third and two, he was going to get 8 yards every time. Just the most annoying player ever.
Yeah,
but
every random Patriot named is followed by the sign of, like, oh,
yeah.
That guy.
But, like, if I name
Troy Brown,
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, maybe not as annoying. I don't have a moment in my head where, like, did he have a game? Maybe all these guys had games. Did Ben Jarvis Green Ellis have, like, a 200-yard rushing game against the Bills, maybe?
Probably. Brandon Bolden did, right? Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah,
I remember
that.
Brandon Bolden.
The special teamer that he had. He had one game in his, like, 8-year career with, like, 100 yards, and it was against the Bills.
That's the game where the Bills, I think they're up 21-7.
Okay.
And then the Patriots ran the ball every play and scored on 6 consecutive drives.
Uh-huh. Green Ellis, 2008 against the Bills, 26 for 105 and a touchdown in a 20-10 win over the Bills. 20-10, that's actually not that bad. It's about as good as they ever did. 16 for 98 and a touchdown. Okay, he had a few. 19 for 104 and nothing. What about Lawrence Maroney? Did he have some big games against the Bills? Probably, right?
Robert Edwards, how's that name for you? Brandon Bolden, here you go. Here's the Brandon Bolden stat. It's a game. It's September 30th, 2012. We went from remember some Patriots to remember some games. The Bills lose this game 52-28. They led this game 21-7.
Just.
They got outscored 45-7.
Yeah. And how, like, that can't, what, like, one in one half, maybe?
In the second half.
Is that right? They
scored 14 points in the second. They were up 21-7 in the second half and lost 52-28.
The Patriots had a 45-point half against the Bills?
Yes.
Come on.
They scored 31 points in the fourth quarter, running the ball.
Wow.
Yep. Brandon Bolden in that game.
Wow.
Brandon Bolden, whose career high for rushing was like 200 in a season, he ran for 137 yards.
Unbelievable.
And Stephen Ridley ran for 106.
Yeah.
Patriots.
What was the most demoralizing of them? I mean, everyone's number one's the McKelvin game.
The McKelvin game. The McKelvin fumble.
Because that one came close. Was there another one, though, where like they were live or they were pretty good and they got smoked? Because I remember 2011 where they were good at the beginning and they won the game. Because like a lot of these games, like they're kind of already out of it, aren't they? And then New England just comes in December and it's just...
Right. A lot of these games were like the spot that New England is in on Sunday. Like, oh, here's another season down the tubes and like, we're about to get smacked by Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Like, you don't have a lot of... Like, in the last few years, Miami versus Buffalo. Miami thinks they're good. And record-wise, they are pretty good. And then, like, all right, let's go prove it against the Bills. Fall on your face. Like, the Bills... This is part of the reason why like it isn't just Tom Brady ruined my childhood as a Bills fan. It's the Bills were never even at that point where, okay, New England, let's go prove how good you are. You never even had that beginning, I feel like, to those matchups where like the Bills might be good, let's go measure it, and then oh no, they're not. Like we knew they weren't good going into it. I think.
Yeah.
For most of them, unless I'm missing like a year where that was a little bit different.
Which was the worst one? There, how about Moss? I got a tweet here from Josh who writes in, I went to the Bills game, they got flexed. The Patriots dropped a 50-burger on us. That was 56-10.
56-10.
Randy Moss was a man among boys, easily one of the greatest athletic performances I've seen in person. Moss that day caught 10 passes for 128 and 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, November 18, 2007.
What about like, no, this isn't a Brady game even. Just stumbled upon a 13-0 defeat against New England, where Matt Cassel went 6 of 8 for 78 yards,
and won 13-0.
And won. They completed 6 passes on the game and beat the Bills.
Does it have to be? Ooh, here's a fun record. Hold on a second.
49-21, Patriots over the Bills.
I'm feeling this.
52-28.
This revenge. Like, when will this be over? When will revenge be over? For what they did to the Bills, for what they did to us. Is it when Josh Allen has more wins against the Patriots than Brady has against the Bills? Is that when it's over?
Well, that's impossible, isn't it? Wasn't it like 31?
Was it impossible?
Him to get 31 wins against New England?
How many more do we need? We're going to get 2 this year.
He's already dropped a couple, though, which is going to make it a little...
He did drop a couple early, which is tough, but...
Yeah, he dropped one last year.
That's right.
Just the dumbest loss ever.
When's it over? When will we finally release them from the revenge,
you know,
that we seek?
I feel like
never.
I feel like haven't we already kind of done it a little bit?
No.
Subconsciously?
Absolutely not.
I mean, you're talking of Drake May on a weekly basis, like, and he's in a Patriot uniform.
Good. He should be great, and then the Bills will just smack them every time.
See, there is a point
the
where
revenge,
like,
the revenge must continue.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't have the same disdain or hate. I feel like I've already kind of won a little bit. Like, they're in my rearview mirror. I watched yesterday the clip of the NBC Sports Boston postgame show after the Bills won the perfect game, and I don't even remember the guy's name. The guy that was still claiming after the Bills had a perfect game offensively that the Bills were not a good team.
Yep.
And all of his colleagues going, dude, what are you smoking?
It was that the Patriots were bad, the Bills were not good.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, I watched that yesterday just to, like, remind myself, like, yeah, I hate them because I don't think about them anymore. They're in my rearview mirror. They're in the dust.
You know what we need?
Until Drake May is actually good, and then maybe we'll get to a point with Drake May that we'll get with Tua, which is, oh yeah, you guys think he's good? You think he's close to Allen? Oh, that's cute. Like right now, it's kind of the, oh yeah, like Drake May, that's kind of cool. Cool story. He's good. Like he's, you know. But there might come a year, like next year, the year after, where he's pretty good, or even really good, and Bills fans are going to go at him the same way they go at Tua, where like he stinks, because we're comparing him to Josh Allen. He stinks.
We need to get the clip, and we need to play it every time the Bills play the Patriots, of when Tom Curran and that crew, and Michael Holly. Yeah. We need to get their reaction to the win game, the Sun Tzu game, and we need to never stop playing it.
I think it should be tradition. You might not remember the details
of it, but it is the ultimate. It is, you know, we live in the old takes exposed era. It is the single greatest thing we can play on this these airwaves. Their reaction to the Sun Tzu game.
Yep.
And how the Bills' reign was over.
Yep. There was something about those words
were used. The reign is over for the Bills.
Yep. How's it going, Sense?
We're gonna get it.
How's it
we gone? Gotta play it.
How's it going, Sense? Josh is looking.
Okay, you
it's in there
you
somewhere.
Got it. If you've got it, let's just do it. Because again, remember what happened in this game. The Bills are good. The Patriots come in. The wind's blowing 60 miles per hour. The Bills were still the better team, and they lost 14-10.
Right.
And
they figured
the Patriots.
They figured out in the second half, Allen could actually throw the ball a little bit.
Through the wind a little bit. The Patriots got one big run from Damian Harris and then did nothing the rest of the day. And they took that to mean that the Bills' reign was over.
The 11-month reign of the Buffalo Bills is over. It's over. Atop the AFC East, they're done. It was a
never
nice,
to return, maybe. Not,
didn't even last a calendar year. We're done. Bye-bye.
Again, they made them apply tongue to the hardened white turd on the playground by pressing their head down onto it. And that's unfortunate for the Bills, and they don't want to talk about it. I can appreciate that.
It is the single greatest thing that I don't know. We need a 30 for 30. Did they show that in the locker room before the Bills went to New England a few weeks later and absolutely destroyed them and didn't punt?
They should show it in the locker room this week.
Show it this, sure. How about the reign is over, maybe never to return?
Right. That was before the 21 playoffs.
That's right. That's right.
The 2021 playoffs.
Maybe never to return. And that's why you say, like, I'm over it. No, this revenge tour never ends.
No, that's good. I'm glad never. We played that because I'm right back where I needed to be.
Never.
I'm right back.
20 years from now, we're playing that.
Yeah.
Maybe never to return. These arrogant Patriots fans that had 20 years of success. Tom Brady walked out the door. Mac Jones won a game. He threw three passes in, and they thought they were back. Never let it go. Never let that one go. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we thought of that and played that.
Yep.
These Patriots fans, the kid at the parade, this is my 20th parade.
Yeah.
Never let that go. We have to hold grudges. If we don't hold grudges, what else is there?
No, you're right. You're right. Yep.
Oh, the Patriots.
It really is. It ascends beyond even any point we've been, I think, with the Dolphins or the Jets, right? Like, they've been more on the mind recently, but I don't remember feeling the way I felt that week about New England ever, even close about the Dolphins or the Jets. Maybe that's just because those teams don't beat the Bills all that often. Well, the Jets I do, I guess, once in a while.
I guess that's like the 70s Bills fans on the Dolphins would feel that way.
Well, it was Belichick, wasn't it? It was the idea that he's still king. Like the Jets, the Jets beat the Bills with Zach Wilson on a punt return touchdown, but that was not followed with the Bills' reign is over and Robert Saleh is a master and you'll never beat him.
Like, that's right.
Like
that's right.
New England, it was it was Belichick and you're not beating him. Like he's
right.
back on top.
That is when, you know, the 2 days later, Peter King wrote that Belichick had Sun Tzu's The Art of War.
Right.
That's why I never let Sun Tzu go. The idea that you know, oh, well, the master. You're just sorry, Buffalo.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're up against the master. Yeah. And that guy currently coaches the North Carolina Tar Heels. Who could have predicted that day? Imagine you come back in time and you walk onto that set and be like, guys, I'm actually in 2024 and the Bills are still good and Bill Belichick coaches North Carolina.
Right.
Oh, the Panthers? No, the Tar Heels.
Right. The Bills are actually going to beat you two times before the end of the season, win the division. They're going to win every division after that, and Bill Belichick is going to be in the ACC.
What's his record since that game?
Belichick?
Yeah.
Ooh, I could find it. What's their record since that game?
Worse, because I mean they're 3-11 this year.
Yeah, I'll find it. It's gotta be horrific.
That's 2021.
That's the 21 season. Yeah.
Okay. So they are 8-12-22, 15-33. They are 15-33, and after that game, they lost 3 out of 4. So they are 16-36.
I could tell you, do you have that game in front of you?
16-37.
Do you have the game? Oh, yeah. Okay, you have it. 16-37.
I've done it. They're like 16-37 since that crew went on television and claimed the Bills' reign was over.
December 6, 21. What I want to find very quickly, and I think I almost have it, is what like how many more wins the Bills have since that day. Because I have that almost plugged in. What's today? The 20th? The 20th of 2024. Okay, here we go. Since that day that the Patriots beat the Bills in 60-mile-per-hour wins, and those people declared that it was all over, the Bills have... This is going to include playoffs. I'll include playoffs for this. That seems fair.
Let's do it.
They played head-to-head. The Bills have won 42 games... since that day in New England has won 16.
All right. I mean, just...
42-16 versus 16-37.
42-16 versus 16-37.
Yep.
I mean, you just love it. Break. Josh, tell me to break. I never want the segment to end.
It's time.
I know.
It's 2 minutes past time.
I know.
It was a glorious 2 minutes.
It was just a healthy rekindling of my just disdain for the Patriots media and the Patriots fans, the Patriots arrogance.
No, yeah, like I feel like the fire, like for me, the coals. We just it was coals left, and you just dumped a gallon of gasoline on top of it, and like it might. Hey, it's gas on the fire. I don't think there's logs. Like it's gonna burn out by Monday, and I'm gonna be back to like caring about other things and like forgetting about New England. But between now and Sunday, I am ready to let that gasoline fire burn.
I want 50 on Sunday, a 50 burger. I want a 50. Every time they play, I want 50. All right, we got to get a break in. Chris Brown coming up. It's Football Friday on WGR.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Back here on a Football Friday, Jeremy and Joe, Chris Brown joining us on the Wester Hotline as we gear up for Bills and Patriots, 4:25 on Sunday. It is Football Friday. Chris, we spent last segment just, you know, dusting off the Patriots hate. I mean, just really remembering how much we used to just despise this team because they owned the Bills for so long. And it felt good, you know, it felt good now that the Bills are the ones on the top of the mountain.
Yeah, this is a question I'm going to have to ask my son when he gets home next week because he grew up during the drought. You know, he lived the drought basically the first 16 years of his life. And he had a picture of Tom Brady on his dartboard in the basement. I actually saw a clip on Instagram this week of some kid crying, you know, on the floor because he hates Josh Allen so much. I can't remember if it was a Lions fan or another fan. And I was like, oh, my God. I used to get reports from my wife about my son leaving the room in agony because Tom Brady had beaten the Bills again. So, yeah, turnabout is fair play, though.
Yeah, that's right. And Joe and I were kind of kidding about it. Like, Joe's saying, you know, it's New England. It's over. It's fine. And we need another decade of them being stuck in the mud. I mean, right now they're 3-11. And their quarterback, I think, is really a bright spot. Like, that's the one thing that's going well for them. Other than that, I mean, there's still just so much work to do for this Patriots team.
Yeah, there are a lot of holes. I don't think there's any question about that. And they have their own drafting to thank for it. They've really got nobody to blame but themselves. I think they have two very good building blocks. One is Drake May, as you mentioned, and the other is Christian Gonzalez. I don't know that I've ever seen a cornerback make playing cornerback look so easy. I still remember watching him at Oregon, and nothing looked difficult for him, whether it was press man, press bail, you know, whatever it was coverage-wise, whatever the assignment was coverage-wise, it all looked way too easy. So I think those are two very good building blocks for them. But even the defense, which was supposed to be under Gerard Mayo, thought to be a unit that could hold them in games, similar to the way they did last year, in their last year under Belichick, has not materialized at all. And yes, you know, the Christian Barmore thing is an unfortunate situation, but losing Juwan Bentley for the season to – you know, losing your leading tackler and middle linebacker obviously hurt them, but they just do not have any depth. The trading of Matthew Judon, it's just all come crashing down on both sides of the ball, and their offensive line is abysmal. So they really have trouble matching up with teams on a weekly basis.
Yeah, those injuries, Gonzalez is the one, he's incredible, but the Mayo defense not being as good, Chris, and I saw they run the second most man coverage in the league, and we just saw what the Bills did to Detroit. We saw what they did to Jacksonville earlier in the year, these teams that run a lot of man. Like, I've been getting fantasy questions all week about, like, who do I start from the Bills? Because I think, like, somebody is going off, I think, against this Patriots defense, if not even a couple. It's just going to be, you know, maybe a little trickier to figure out who.
Right, because that's what makes Buffalo's offense so difficult to defend. Apparently it's difficult for even fantasy footballers to figure out who's going to have a big week. I mean, when you have nine different players catching balls and, you know, the guy that was the leading receiver the previous week doesn't get a target the next week, I mean, good luck if you're an opposing defensive coordinator. And even if you want to just say, well, forget it, we're just going to zone it up and play zone defense and just keep it all in front of us, force them to earn their way down the field, well, then the Bills just say, well, that's fine. We'll just run the ball into this six-man box and just get 8- and 10-yard chunks all the way down the field. They really are a conundrum for opposing defensive coordinators. There are no good answers.
Chris Brown joining us on the Wester Hotline ahead of Bills Patriots. Not going to call it like a get-right game for the defense, but I think you might have a good chunk of Bills Mafia, Chris, that is ready to feel a little bit better after two strong performances from both the Rams and the Lions. Now, those are quarterbacks and weapon-heavy teams, and this one is not that. But getting healthy is probably a big part of this, and watching the defensive line have the kind of game they had for, well, most of the Detroit game. I think people came out of that game feeling pretty good. But the defense could probably make Bills fans feel a little bit better in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I do think the last two games defensively were two very different games. I mean, the Lions, who were the leading team in football in terms of points per game and second in scoring efficiency, Bills are first, by the way, there, They only had 14 points with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. I mean, the game was already won for all intents and purposes, and I think it was a combination of the injuries that happened during the game, along with the starters who were out of the game, coupled with the defensive philosophy of let's give them yards in exchange for time on the clock. There were some drives that probably the Lions scored a little quicker than they had probably planned for, which is what made the game interesting. But I think if the defensive line brings it again this week, that will be a very encouraging sign going forward, because they have to understand, especially with injuries on the back end, they've got to carry the load here down the stretch. And I don't anticipate it'll be a problem this week, because the Patriots, as I said earlier, they just don't have the horses up front to match up. Someone is going to eat on the defensive line, and it's going to be basically whoever is in a one-on-one matchup.
With all that being said, Chris, like the Patriots not posing as big a threat offensively, the line, the Bills D-line looking as good as it did last week, and that unit's healthy. The secondary and the linebackers dealing with all their injuries right now, do you have a thought on what the Bills might do with that situation when it comes to player management, whether maybe they would even rest a guy if they think he's close this week? Because they are still fighting for the one seed, but their depth players have shown pretty well and maybe would make them feel more comfortable about being more conservative in these areas.
Yeah, I don't think they play it any differently this week, because the one seed, even if the Chiefs win on Saturday, is still there mathematically. And so I think they just go about their business. I think once the one seed is off the table, then they have to assess how much distance is there between themselves and the three and the four seed. And if they feel they can comfortably stay ahead, well, then maybe you do start discussing load management issues. But, you know, if the Steelers win this weekend and beat the Ravens, you know, there's still a game back of you. So it's not... It's not everybody's talking about, well, you can't get the one seed. What are you going to push to the end for? But you got to stay ahead of Pittsburgh and whoever else is on your heels. So that's the other thing. It's the teams that are chasing you, not just the Chiefs that are in front of you. So it's going to be very interesting to see the approach that Coach McDermott and his staff take, you know, down the stretch here. If the one seed's off the table, do they just like go load management all in, or do they keep on pushing to make sure they get the two seed, which to me, I think has value even over the three.
Yeah. The Patriots, by the way, as we've kind of mentioned here, Chris, like the quarterback looks pretty nice. Like he's showing some really good signs, but they've just got to fill in everything else around him. How likely do you think they are to be good at that? Like, because it's a new GM, Elliott Wolf. It's a new coach, Jerod Mayo. So like they got a job to do here. I don't know how likely they are to do it. I don't know much about the GM, but the coach certainly is not really impressing. He seems like he's walking back comments after press conferences a bunch of times this year. There's weird in-game decisions. Like I'm still trying to figure out how likely they actually are to fill in the gaps around Drake May eventually.
Right, and I'll go back to what I say about Coach McDermott and his staff. It's the best player development staff I've seen since the Levy era. That has enormous value, especially in the salary cap era. Players come to the Bills, and they get better. I mean, think about teams like the Jets, who have drafted good players the last 3 or 4 years under former GM Joe Douglas, but they don't have a staff that can develop players and make them better. Has Sauce Gardner gotten better since he got drafted? I would argue he's gotten worse. And the Bills used to have that problem during the drought years. I mean, Marcell Dareus, super talent, never got better after he got here. And so what you have is, yeah, I think you have a capable front office personnel man in Elliott Wolf in New England. I'm not sure you have a staff that's capable of developing players and making them better. I mean, I do like Alex Van Pelt and what he's done with Drake May, but I don't know if it's enough to, you know, save the jobs of those people. But then you have to really ask yourself the hard question. You have your franchise quarterback. Do you want to stunt his growth by changing the offense again? I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how patient Robert Kraft chooses to be with a guy that he handpicked himself just last year.
Chris Brown, he'll have the call on Sunday with Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio. Heated gloves, heated I mean, you guys will go open window, and it's going to be a chilly one, so stay warm as best you can.
Yeah, don't worry. Eric has heated gloves, and a space heater on the desk.
Wow.
He is often ridiculed and ribbed for his softness in the booth. So
doesn't he have a bunch of stories, though, like about he played without sleeves in a lot of those games, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's made the necessary deposits to make these withdrawals now. And look, truth be told, I'm going to have long underwear on. I mean, the window's open. I am not truly outside, but we're feeling it. Just maybe not to the degree that the fans are, who are truly braving the elements.
I think you should show up, Eric, by showing up in short sleeves on Sunday. That's what I think you should do.
Yeah, there's a fine line there, Joe, between brave and stupid, and I don't like to cross it.
Chris Brown. Thanks, Chris.
Take care, guys.
Chris Brown. We'll also include in that, you know, he mentioned the defensive line, like, who needs to just get results? That brought to you by Dan Cha-Cha, injury attorneys. No worries, just results. Greg Rousseau, somebody on the defensive line, feels like it should be a game where they are able to get to Drake May, who can escape, but, you know, get some sacks, get a quarterback on the ground. That's who needs to just get results. Brought to you by Dan Cha-Cha, injury attorneys. All right, Football Friday continues. Jeremy and Joe, the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy, top of the hour. Your phone calls if you want to pop in and, you know, just talk about the Patriots, because it's fun to, you know, trash them while we can. You can do that. Football Friday on WGR.
This is the song that's been stuck in my head for 2 weeks.
Yeah?
Feliz Navidad. Now it's going to be stuck for another week. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Rooting against Notre Dame tonight. What's our plan?
No, because I have a bet on them.
Oh! You bet on them. Speaking of which, we haven't even said it yet. We hit our Thursday three-way parlay last night.
Yes, we did.
All three of us. Yes,
you two finally decided to pull some weight.
That's right. Stone smart over had that.
Look at you over there behind the glass yelling.
I mean, I got my feet up. I haven't missed.
I try.
I'm like Steph Curry from half court right now. Yeah, we hit, though. Was that the first? I think it's the first time we've hit all season.
It's the first time we've hit, yeah. All three of us.
What was the other? I had Quentin Johnson under.
Under, and he...
He dropped a couple.
He did. And Josh had Cortland Sutton under... Six catches.
Under
5.5.
That came really close, didn't it?
He had five.
He had five.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And
you had
5.5.
You had a garbage time drive at the end, which could have.
Yep. Yep.
Which could have been bad, but he was going to Vele and whoever else, the running backs.
Yep. So good for us. Congratulations. Hey, the Sabres play tonight.
Yep. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Home against the Leafs.
I'll say this.
No Jordan Greenway.
No Jordan Greenway.
It's very bad news. Greenway is good and important.
But Dahlin. Although he might be rushed back, honestly. They always win games against Toronto at home that they shouldn't.
Okay, well.
I'm just saying that. I'm
really going to put it to the test tonight.
I got a tank story in like the middle of January, the tank season, where they beat the Kessel Leafs like 6-0 at home, and Leaf fans were throwing things on the ice. That last year, after losing 9-3 to Columbus, they beat the Leafs like 9-0 or something.
Yeah, but that was like the worst goaltending game of all time.
Yeah, well the Leafs have bad goalies. Like they could give you that to you.
The Leafs are in first in the division.
I know. I'm just saying.
Anyway.
The Sabres have a good record against Toronto at home in this drought. Like I'll look it up. I think their record against the Leafs, I think, is better than against any other team in the last 13 years.
Yep. Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy is up next.